Okay, let's return to the Sefer Melachim base. Last time we learned, we encountered this murderous, barbaric figure called Yehu. Right? What Yehu did is, Yehu basically destroyed the house of Ahav, and Yehu also killed Ahaziyahu, who is the king of Yehuda. Right? Yehu, the story is, he's like an officer in the army. The Navi sends a fellow to go and appoint him. He goes, he kills the house of... He goes at that time, Yehoram, who is the king of Yisrael, is sick from some battle, and the king of Yehuda is with him. Right? Yehu comes down to attack them. They see he's like riding on his horse like a madman, like a mishugana, right? And Yehu keeps on saying, there's no peace, there's no peace, there's no peace. And then they realize that there's a revolt going on, it's too late. Yehu kills Yehoram, who's the king of Yisrael. He kills Ahaziyahu, who's the king of Yehuda. He kills the family of Ahav, like the Navi told him to do, to kill all of them. Right? He kills 42 members of the family of Ahaziyahu. That he was not told to do, but he did it anyway. He kills them in a brutal way. He has their heads put in pots and sent. Right? It's kind of gross and disgusting, but that is what's going on with Yehu. Right? Now, Yehu then decides, Yehu, by the way, is motivated by God, right, by Hashem. Yehu then goes and he says, oh, we'll make a whole party for all those who worship Baal, and they have a gigantic chagiga, right, the Baal chagiga, and everyone comes and they're dancing and having a great time, and then Yehu says, lock the doors, don't let anyone out, off with their heads, he kills all of them. Right? That's the story of Yehu. Now, after Yehu, right, or after Yehu kills Ahaziyahu, so let's now return to the events in the kingdom of Yehuda. In the kingdom of Yehuda, what happens after Ahaziyahu is killed? So there is another infamous character called Ataliah, who comes on the scene. Okay, let's just read the first pasuk. Ataliah em Ahaziyahu ra'ata kimet bina. Ataliah, the mother of Ahaziyahu, sees that her son died. Vatakam vata'abed et kol zara hamamlacha. What she does is, but how they translate, she arose and she destroyed all the royal seed. She kills everybody. Not good. Right? Ataliah is quite loathsome. Right? She's killing everybody. Now, what is Ataliah thinking? Why is she doing this? What's going on? So, yeah.
She's trying to take all the power for herself.
She's what?
Trying to take all the power for herself.
She wants to take the power. So she is a money, she is a power-grubbing individual. No? Her son was king, is dead. She decides, I want to be the leader. And she is going to be called Imolechet, right, which is an interesting term, not a queen, but a ruler. The Navi does not want to give her the term queen. Queen is too good for her. She's just a ruler. Right? So Ataliah is someone who grabs the power. Right? But in order to grab the power, she has to kill all the others who are vying for power. So she kills Kol Zera Hamlucha. She kills all of the king's family. Now, when you think about this, this might be one of the most brutal descriptions. Because who are the Zera Hamlucha that she's killing? She's the mother of the previous king. The people vying to be king now would be her grandchildren and her children. And she kills all of them. That is not...
That's
right? It's intense, right? That is Ataliah. Ataliah is killing Kol Zera Hamlucha. Now, how do we understand any of Ataliah? So yes, she's power grubbing, that's one thing. But let's try to put this into context. Who was Ataliah? Again? Again? She's the daughter of Izebel. Very good. She's the daughter of Izebel, right? Who is the king of Israel. Izebel, by the way, was also killed by Yehu in the last chapter. So, right, Izebel had, so the last remaining, remember, the entire family of Ahab is killed by Yehu. Right? There is apparently one member of the Ahab family who remains, and that is Ataliah. But Ataliah married into royalty in the other kingdom. Ataliah's husband was Yehoram. Yehoram is the father of Ahaziahu, who was just killed. Okay? Remember, because Ahaziahu was just killed by Yehu, right? She's the mother of Ahaziahu. So she's the wife of the previous king to Ahaziahu, the wife of Yehoram, right? The Yehoram from Yehuda, not Yehoram from Israel. There are two people named Yehoram, just to make things confusing. Now, what do we know about this Yehoram and his wife, Ataliah? Well, if I read the book of Kings, I know precious little. Yehoram gets a total of 4 psukim. Right? In Divrei Hayamim, I know a ton. But in Sefer Melachim, I know, basically, that Yehoram is king for 12, that Yehoram is king for 12 years, and he's not, no, one second. No, he's king for 8 years. He's 32 years old and becomes king. He's king for 8 years, and he does not follow the path of the kings of Yehuda. Rather, he follows the path of the kings of Israel, because his wife was from that line. Right? That's what I know from Sefer Melachim. But in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, I hear a little bit more about Yehoram. Yehoram himself is the son of a very good king called Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat is great. He's righteous. He follows Hashem's path. Everything is wonderful about Yehoshaphat. The thing about Yehoshaphat is he decided, say for Divrei Hayamim, this is Divrei Hayamim Bet, chapter 21, Perek Chaf Aleph. Yehoshaphat decided that I want a smooth transition. Okay? Smooth transitions are something that governments want. Sometimes, right, you get tweets that the transition is not as smooth as you would like. Right? But we won't make everything contemporary. But Yehoshaphat wants a smooth transition. Yehoshaphat has 6 sons. You know what he does have a smooth transition? He tells them to have a smooth transition. I will give each of those 6 sons who are not going to inherit the throne, I'll give them big gifts. I will give this guy a palace over here and this guy a palace over there. I'll give them really nice gifts. And the one who gets the kingdom, it says Yehoshaphat, will be my son Yehoram. Okay? Sounds like a very good plan, right? And the plan would have worked if not for the fact that Yehoram, Divrei Hayamim tells us, right? Yehoram had these brothers, and we have their names. It's Azariah, Yechiel, Zechariahu, Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiahu, right? And he gives them gifts. He gives them gold and silver, and he gives them cities in Yehuda. But he gives the kingdom etamam lachan atam lihoram ki hu abachor. He gives Yehoram the kingdom because Yehoram is a bechor. So you know what Yehoram does? Vayakam Yehoram amamlechat avi vayitchazek vayaharog et kol echav becharev. Yehoram kills all of his brothers.
Fratricide.
Why? Fratricide. Why does he do that? Because he is paranoid. He does not want. Right, he's worried that even though daddy said, I will be king, maybe those brothers won't agree. Maybe this peaceful transition that daddy set up, Yehoshaphat is righteous, he's wonderful, but maybe this peaceful transition won't come to bear. So therefore Yehoram goes and he kills all of his brothers. Now, it is entirely possible, and if you read the context of these psukim, the reason why Yehoram did this is because his wife, who comes from the Izebel line, incited him to do it. No? That wife is Atalia. Atalia, this woman who kills children, grandchildren, she'll kill everybody, right? Is coming, right? She had been the wife of Yehoram. That's a story. So now, what we have with Atalia is a few things. One, Atalia is power hungry. Two, Atalia is the last surviving descendant of Achav's family, a daughter of Izebel. She is worried Yehu will kill her. Three, she likes to kill. Right? And this comes together to create an action movie. Right?
That,
this is the story of Atalia. Yes. So apparently there's some attempt to reunite and to merge the kingdoms, and you know, these are political marriages, which like marriages often at the higher ends of business are mergers rather than marriages, right? I think that's correct. They and by the way, the Navi in Malachim Beis, the Navi is in Devar Hayamim Beis, the Navi is very critical of this union. Because by the way, one other interesting factoid. After Yehoram goes and kills all of his brothers, he gets a message. The message comes in the form of a letter from Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu is now dead, right? Or he went up to Shamayim. And there is a message that comes to Yehoram, says the Psukim in Divrei Hayamim Bet. Vayavo elav michtav me'Eliyahu hanavi le'mor. He gets a letter from Eliyahu. Ko amar Adonai Elohei David avicha tachat asher lo halachta b'darchei Yehoshaphat avicha b'darchei asa melech Yehuda. Right, you didn't follow your father Yehoshaphat. You didn't follow the kings of Yehuda. Instead, you followed the path of the kings of Yisrael. Therefore, hinei Adonai nogef magifa gedola v'amecha, God will punish you. Right? That's the story. Because all of this happened, God will punish you. There is a letter from Eliyahu Hanavi, again, Malachim Bet, chapter 21, Psukim Yud Bet and following. Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Chaf Aleph, right? Chapter 21, Psukim 12 and following. There's a letter from Eliyahu Hanavi. Now, Eliyahu Hanavi usually is a prophet to which kingdom? To the kingdom of Yehuda or Yisrael?
Yisrael.
Eliyahu Hanavi has an arch enemy called Achav. Eliyahu is telling Achav, Achav! Right? Eliyahu always is like waving his finger at Achav. Right? That's like the whole story. This is the only prophecy Eliyahu Hanavi ever gives to a king of Yehuda. And it's after Eliyahu is dead. It comes in, or after he rose up to the heavens. Right? And it comes in the form of a letter. That means that precisely bringing Eliyahu into play about Yehoram tells me that you, Yehoram, are not an authentic king of Yehuda. You are really a king of Yisrael in disguise. Right? That's really what's going on, sending Eliyahu Hanavi. So this is the background. So Atalia had been the wife of Yehoram. She's the mother of Achaziyahu. Achaziyahu is killed. Now, some nations have great history about what to do when there's a power vacuum. In many countries, you know, every 2 weeks you have a coup. So you know what to do, right? But the kingdom of Yehuda is not like that. They are not used to coups. So Atalia is able to fill in and to take the... She is a molechet. She is the leader because no one knew what to do. And what we'll see happens is the easiest revolt possible takes place. And that's what we'll see. By the way, the other thing about Atalia is the verse in Divrei Hayamim, Bet, chapter 24, verse 7, has a term for Atalia that no one else gets. Divrei HaYamim Bet, chapter 24, verse 7. Mirsha'at. You know what Mirsha'at means?
Evil.
The evildoer. She is awful. Right? Atalia stinks. Right? She is... I think that... Right? It's worse than Patvan, you know, in the old Nassau Coliseum. Right? Okay, whatever, fine.
No.
Now. Now, why did Atalia not... If she's so power-hungry and she likes killing, why did she not do this beforehand? How come she waited until her son Ahaziahu was killed to take the throne? So the answer probably is she couldn't. Mm-hmm. Atalia herself is an outsider. Mm-hmm. She comes from the kingdom of Yisrael. She married in. People wouldn't allow her to exert power because she just married in. But then, when there's this vacuum after he dies, after Ahaziah was killed, so then she takes over. Okay? So now I think we're ready to learn. We did Pasuk 1. Atalia sees that her son died, and she kills her entire family. She kills all of children, grandchildren. But apparently she doesn't kill everybody. Vatikach Yehosheva Bat HaMelech Yoram Achot Achaziahu et Yoash ben Achaziah vatignov oto mitoch bnei hamelech hamimutim. Okay? There is someone who is not killed, or two someones. One is called Yehosheva. Yehosheva is the daughter of Yoram. Now, she could have been the daughter of Yoram, but not the daughter of Atalia. It's unclear, no? But Yehosheva, right, the daughter of Atalia's husband, right, takes a baby called Yoash, who is the son of Ahaziahu. She steals him, she kidnaps him, and she steals his nurse, Meinikto, his wet nurse, and she puts them in a chamber. And she hides them from Ataliyahu, and he is not killed. So Ataliyah is trying to kill the entire family, but you have this woman, Yehosheva, who steals the baby boy, Yoash, and hides him, ba'chadar hamitot, she hides him in the bedchamber to save his life. Now, the way Ataliyah is killing everybody is as follows. She is poisoning them, Chazal say. My hands are not dirty. Take a drink. Right? She's poisoning them. What? Again? Maybe. But Atalia also would have poisoned the nurse to kill the baby. So they have to hide the baby and the nurse to save the baby.
Doesn't somebody wonder where they've gone missing?
So doesn't someone wonder where they've gone? So maybe, and maybe they can't find him. And Chazal say, you know why they can't find him? Because they take this baby and they hide him in a place where no one goes. Rashi quotes, they hide this baby in the, look at the Rashi, the bottom of page 3. Chadar hamitot, the room with the beds. Zakt Rashi, this is Aliyat Beit Kodshei HaKadashim. The attic of the Holy of Holies in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? So this baby, Yoash, is raised in the attic of the Kodesh HaKadashim for 6 years. When the baby will be 7 years old, they'll take him out and they'll coronate him. That we'll see. What?
So who's been training them all these years?
The wet nurse. The wet nurse, and obviously, in order to do this, you need people in cahoots. And those people are the Kohanim. Right? So what we have is, effectively, the Kohanim By the way, it's similar to some of the Holocaust narratives, Lahavdil, with the priests saving the babies.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right? Mother, I have sinned, so have I. Right? In the Sound of Music. Right? Right? I don't think it was that they slashed the tires. I thought they pulled out like the carburetor or something from the car so the car couldn't go. I always loved that scene. I don't know. I happen to love that entire movie, but that's a different story. They hide this boy in the Kodshei HaKadashim. Says the next pasuk, "Vayhi ita beit Adonai mitchabei sheshanim, va'atalia molechet al haaret." He is hiding there for 6 years while Atalia is molechet, is reigning over the land, right? Again, molechet, not malka, like we mentioned before. We don't want to give her the title of queen. What?
No, the root.
It's the same root, but you don't see her called a malka. She never becomes a queen. She's a molechet. She's someone who's ruling. Apparently this is fine. Now, it's like a temporary ruler who happens to be that. We never want to give her the real title as being fine. Now, the question, by the way, in halacha about raising a baby on top of the car, you okay? The question about raising a baby on top of the Kodesh HaKadashim is, are you allowed to put people there? Now, effectively, this is pikuach nefesh. Right? This is... but there's still some discussion in Chazal as to whether that area had Kedusha, didn't have Kedusha, but the Gemara in Pesachim has a rule that Gagan va'alios lo niskadshu, that the roofs don't have Kedusha. The roofs in Yerushalayim. Right, does that imply that the roof of the Kodesh Kadashim also doesn't have Kedusha? That's a discussion. Okay, now, let's continue. Year 7, when this baby is Bishana HaShvi'it, Shalach Yehoyada. Year 7, Yehoyada. Yehoyada is the Kohen Gadol. Yehoyada in year 7 sends, and he calls all the captains of the elite units, and all of the fast runners, and he brings them to him in the Beit HaMikdash, and he makes a brit with them, a treaty, and he makes them swear while they're in the Beit HaMikdash, and he shows them the little boy king. So what we have over here is the Kohen is instigating a revolt, but here's where he does a revolt. He calls the elite army units, he says, I want to meet with all of you, and the meeting is, look at that boy. Now remember, Atalia had killed Kol Zera Hamulcha. They're all dead. And the Kohen reveals, I got one. Right? He's still alive. There is one baby still alive. Now why did they wait till year 7? This is going to be basically a child king, no? Why don't you do it at 3, at 4? Effectively, the revolt is going to be that everyone is going to rally around this boy, Yoash, make him king, because they hated Atalia. Right? The Psukim say at the end of the Perek that everyone is so happy that, right, look at Pasuk Chav, Vayismach kol ha'aret, because Atalia is dead. Yay! Right? The witch is dead. Right? They are so happy. That's also a good movie. Right? They're so happy. And so why did he wait so long? Why did he wait till they're 7? So there's a few approaches. One approach is as follows. The Mishnah writes that you're usually not supposed to go into the Kodesh HaKadashim. The only time anyone goes into the Kodesh HaKadashim is once a year, right? The Kohen Gadol goes in on Yom Kippur. The attic of the Kodesh HaKadashim, no one ever goes there, right? So the Mishnah, not exactly true. Once every 7 years, they would send a repair crew in to look at it, to make sure that it's not going to collapse. Right, they had a tradition, once every 7 years they'll send a repair crew in to keep it going. So you know why it takes the baby out by year 7? Because he would have been discovered. Right? You can't hide him for more than 7 years because he'd be discovered. Another approach, like slightly more halachic, is the Gemara in Gittin speaks about that there are different levels of knowledge that children can have. When a child has a certain level of knowledge, so the child is able to midrabanan make kinyanim. And that level of knowledge can be attained, because I'll say, around the age of 7. So it could be that until the kid is 7, you can't make him king, because he doesn't have anything. Once he's 7, there's a certain degree of knowledge that he has. Okay, so be it as it may, Yehoyada the Kohen calls this entire group, and he gives them instructions, right? Pasukei. And he says, this is what you do. I want a third of you, Ba'ei HaShabbat, and those who are watching the king's home. Now, Ba'ei HaShabbat means as follows. The Kohanim had rotations. Every Shabbat, one rotation would leave, a new rotation would come in. Yehoyada does this act of this revolt on a Shabbat. So you have some coming in, some coming out. And he takes the Kohanim and he says, you know what, guys? I want you to stay in the Beit HaMikdash. I want you to watch the king's house and make sure, right, the king being Ataliah doesn't get out. I want you to stay at this exit. You to stay over here. He orchestrates these elite units and the Kohanim on a Shabbat. And he puts the Beit HaMikdash in lockdown. Right? Right, but you should do pasuk vav u'shmartem et mishmeret habayit misach. Do not allow anyone to leave. Keep this place on lockdown. Right, and then you should surround the king's house. And when you come from the ranks, anyone who tries to run away, you should just kill him. That's the story. Now, this is the revolt. The revolt is, you get the units together, you say, you hear, you hear, you hear, make sure no one leaves. That's the whole revolt. Right? And that's what happens. They listen to what Yehoyada says, and they take their people, and he gives them the shields and the spears that David HaMelech had, and they basically go, and they take out Yoash, this little boy king, and they give the crown to Yoash, the Et HaEdut, and they give him a Torah, or an insignia, and they make him king, and they say Yechi HaMelech. Right? Vayaku Chap, they all clap, and they say Yechi HaMelech. That's Pasuk Yud Bet. Right? So basically, they coronate the king in the Beit HaMikdash. No? Mm-hmm. This entire ceremony is happening in the Beit HaMikdash, which has been sealed off from everything. They coronate the king. Now, part of the coronation is that they give him a crown. That's obvious. You give a crown at the coronation. But the Gemara in Horios has a slightly different take, which is that there's a tradition that there was a special type of crown that kings in David's family wore that could only fit kings from David's family. If I'm a fake, I'm an imposter, the crown won't fit. It will only fit kings from David's family. So you know what they do? They put the crown in Yoash's head. Little 7-year-old Yoash. They put the crown on his head. It fits. Yechi HaMelech. Now they also give him a Torah. A dut. Why they give him a Torah? Usually a king, the Torah tells us, has a mitzvah to write his own Torah. But over here, this king is a little boy. He can't write his own Torah yet. No? So they give him a Torah. Right? And that's the coronation. Now, what happens? Ataliah hears that there's a lot of noise and the guards are coming, and she sees, V'hinei HaMelech Omed al Ha'amud Kamishpat, the king is standing on the platform, and there are officers and trumpets around him, and they're blowing, and she rips her garments, and she says, there's a revolt. Treason, treason. Kesher, Kesher. Now, another explanation. We said, how can you wait until he's age 7 to do this? Another explanation might be as follows. Ataliah sees that he's standing on the platform. What's this platform? He's in the Beit HaMikdash. Where's a platform in the Beit HaMikdash? The answer is that once every 7 years, they would build a platform in the Beit HaMikdash when there was a mitzvah called Hakel. And in the midst of Hakeel, the king stands on the platform and reads the Torah to all the people on Sukkot. So maybe they're waiting 7 years. Right now, little boy king is reading the Torah and this is his coronation. He's reading the Torah on the platform, and only kings from David's family are allowed to do that. Only kings from David's family are allowed to sit down when they do that. Every other king can't. Okay, so Atalia sees this. She says, treason! Kesher, Kesher! Right? Yehoyada then commands his armies, and he says, you know what? Take this Atalia woman and bring her out to the Sderot, bring her out to the area outside, and kill her. Do not kill her in the Beit HaMikdash. Ki amar HaKohen al tumat Beit Adonai. This, by the way, is a fascinating revolt. Unlike the revolt of Yehu, which was barbaric, and you're putting heads in pots and stuff, over here, this is a revolt that is done with tremendous dignity. It says, you know what, we have to kill this Atalia. Says Yehoyada the Kohen, don't do it in the Beit HaMikdash. Don't defile this holy place. Take her out. Kill her over there. There is something, again, right? Vayasimu ayadayim, they make way for her. Right, you say, move away, let the queen leave. Right, she goes out through a certain Mavo HaSusima area where the horses enter, and she's killed over there. And Yehoyada then goes and he makes a brit. The brit is between God, the king, and the nation. And he says, you know what? You will all follow God. This, by the way, I imagine was such a moving ceremony. Everyone's in the Beit HaMikdash. A new little boy king, the Kohen Gadol, is up there and he says, we are now committing, you king, you people, we are all committing to worship Hashem. Especially if it happened on Sukkot, right after the reading of the Torah to the people, I imagine this was like such a powerful episode. Right? Then he goes, Pasuk Yitret, he goes to Beit HaBaal. Beit HaBaal is the main church of Baal, the main Avodah Zarah. And they destroy the Mizbeach in Baal. And they destroy all of the icons. And there is someone named Matan, who is the Kohen of Baal, and they kill him. And he appoints officers on the Beit HaMikdash. So Yehoyada the Kohen has just appointed a new king and destroyed the Avodah Zarah place, and Matan the Kohen. They quote from Chaim Kanievsky, by the way. Matan is a not uncommon name today. If Chaim Kanievsky says, if you named your child Matan, change the name. Yeah. The only person named Matan in Tanakh is a priest for Baal. Change the name, says Chaim Kanievsky. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so then they have all of the guards, etc. They take the king from the Beit HaMikdash, and the king sits on the throne. Vayismach kol am haaretz. Everyone is happy. The city is quiet. Atalia is killed. Things are amazing.
And everyone
is happily ever after. This is the story of Perek. Until next week, where we will see, fascinatingly, Yoash. This king, who's raised in the Kodesh Kadashim, will go astray a bit. And that will be a very interesting topic for next week, God willing. Okay, thank you for listening. Have a good night.